Well, good afternoon to everyone. You're looking good. I'm glad to see you again, that we're able to come together once again to give God the glory and to worship Him according to what He has written down for us. I'm glad that you're here again. Glad that you have your Bibles. I hope that you will turn with them as we go to different passages so that we might prove and know all things. Last Tuesday, I went to Active Daycare. That's in Lexington, where Robin is over that group, or at least a part of that group. And there are about 35, 40 people that are there that are in various stages of health, I guess is a good way of saying that. Some have mental difficulties, as I've said before. Others have had strokes. Some have been incapacitated from birth itself. And it's always interesting to go there and to speak with them and talk to them about things that are of value. And somebody says, well, how much do they hear and how much do they understand? Some of them hear everything and understand everything. And some of them, I'm not sure. I'll leave that up to them and God. But then sometimes, I hate to be the one to say it, sometimes I don't know how much you're hearing, you know? So messages are meant to be heard, and it is the communications. It is trying to get from my heart to your heart, and hopefully our hearts are gathered around the throne of God, and all of our messages are governed by His particular care in particular. I want to talk to you about something that you're familiar with, and that is the subject of joy. Now, all of us feel joy in so many different ways. Now, I don't know why, but for some reason, a lot of y'all are rejoicing over this University of Kentucky basketball team this year because they haven't lost a game yet. Well, that's all right. But you enjoy the fact in knowing that, and you say, you know, we're going to go all the way. And you just listen at the enthusiasm that is not only among some of you here, but also on the television and on the radio, and just in general, the public, as they rejoice over a basketball game. And there are others who rejoice over other things. We've got Chelsea just graduated from college. She's rejoicing over the fact that she has gotten through college. Aaron has done the same thing, and we're happy in situations like that, aren't we? We rejoice and are pleased that they have finished their requirements and are now headed out in a different direction. And the two of our young men who are going to be married and in the very near future. I remember one wedding, I don't know why I did that, at the end of it, I said, may God have mercy on their souls. And somebody came up to me and said, why in the world? I just said, I don't know where that came from. But I guess that's there's a lot of truth to that particular thought. But once you start that, so fellas, get ready for that, okay? So we do wish you well in your endeavor. So there are a lot of reasons that we rejoice. But I want to talk about, in particular, this morning, about rejoicing, or this afternoon, rather, about rejoicing in the Lord. And because it's more, really, when you get to think about it, it's more than just being filled with enthusiasm and just, you know, elated and all of that. It's more involved in that. And I think sometimes we fail to see that. And sometimes we hear people say, well, we need to be filled with more joy. Well, how do you know that I'm not? I've always wondered that. When somebody said, you need to be filled with more joy. Well, you know, in order for you to say that, you're going to have to know my mind and my heart. Now, people are different. That's just the way it is. And different people react differently in different situations, do they not? Some people are rejoicing and they're just screaming and they're shouting and they're hollering. And that's true in baseball, basketball, football. I can go to a football game, or baseball, either one, and sit there and enjoy the game and never open my mouth or change my expression. Why? Well, I'm having just as much fun as the nut beside of me or behind me as they're jumping up and down and hitting me on the head and everything else. And they say, aren't you having fun? I said, yes. They said, you don't look like it. Well, now, what is rejoicing supposed to look like? Now, if you can tell me what rejoicing is supposed to look like, then we may have a good discussion. But I think at the same time, rejoicing carries with it the idea of knowledge, that I know why I am rejoicing. I know why I'm feeling the way that I feel and understanding the way that I'm understanding. You can walk up to some folks and say, why are you doing it? He said, I don't know. Well, why are you doing it? If you don't know why you're feeling a certain way, if you don't know why this particular thing has caused you to jump up and down or whatever it might do, how do you know it's the right way in which you ought to feel if you don't know? I like the scriptures in that it tells me. I do believe there ought to be feeling in our lives, but also there ought to be knowledge. In the study of 1 John that we're going to get started with next Lord's Day, 11 times we find that the writer says, you know. And so I want to know all I can know in reference to it, as much as possible anyway, about what it means to rejoice in the Lord. Does it mean that I'm jumping up and down? Does it mean that I'm running around in the building? Does it mean that I'm going to fall flat on my face and there just wiggle every which direction? Is that what rejoicing is? Is it always something that is visible? Well, I guess you would have to then get into discussion what is visible. And by what criteria are you using that idea of visible? In Psalms 35 and there verse 9, it says, and my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in His salvation. In Philippians chapter 3 and there verse 1, it says, finally, my brethren, or for the rest of it, here's some more stuff. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same thing to you is not tedious, but for it is safe. And then in chapter 4, and there verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord. And again I say, rejoice. In fact, the idea of rejoicing or rejoice is used some 14 times in the book of Philippians. 14 times the child of God is called upon to rejoice in the Lord. And 1 Thessalonians 5, and there verse 16, it says, rejoice in the Lord. It is something that God's people are promised in Psalms 132 and 16. I will also clothe her priest with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. So I want us to study this concept, or this idea of joy, rejoicing, and even the thought of happiness. When you read the Beatitudes in particular, happy is a man, it says. Happy, happy, it says in the original Hebrew, as you look at Hebrew, as it uses the term there. So, happy is a man that does thus and so. Rejoicing, joy, happy. Now, how many of us in here this afternoon, it's important for you to know this, how many of us in here this afternoon are filled with joy? How many of you right now are rejoicing? How many of you right now are happy? Now these answers, or these questions rather, need to have an answer. Are you joyful in all situations in the spiritual realm? Are you happy in all areas when we think about the spiritual realm? Let's, as we continue to give thought to this passage and these ideas, there are various kinds of joy. I want you to know that people of the world are having a great time. You hear what I said? People of the world, they are having a great time. They are enjoying themselves. They're ecstatic. And they'll tell you. We had a young man years ago who got drunk and he came in and we asked him what he did. He said, I don't know, but I had a good time. How do you know you had a good time? You can't even remember it. Shouldn't you remember your joy? Shouldn't you understand it? Shouldn't you even appreciate it? Proverbs 15 and 21, it says, folly is joy to him who is destitute of discernment, but a man of understanding walks uprightly. Folly to what? Folly is joy to the man who has no discernment. I can remember in high school, don't do this. I wasn't the driver. scared me to death. I remember in high school, we had just finished the junior-senior play. And Cynthia said I had to get new examples, so I'm trying to open my head up to some of that. We had just got through with a junior-senior play, and we are out having a good time. Nobody was filled with alcohol or anything else. We were just joyful. And all of a sudden, the guy who's doing the driving says, I think I'll get on the other side of the highway and drive. He did 150 miles going down the wrong side of the highway. All these nuts that's in that car with me are just having a ball. They're having fun. Was there any discernment in that whatsoever? None whatsoever. We're fortunate to be alive. But foolish individuals are individuals who say, I want to feel my joy. There's something else we need to understand. In Job 20 and verse 5, it said that the trumpeting of the wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite is but for a moment. He calls it joy. They have that feeling. They have that excitement. But it's just for a short time. It's just for a little while. And most of us who have played the part of a foolish individual understands that. When we were living in sin and letting sin direct us, we thought we were having a ball, and then all of a sudden, like a big thud, we wake up and realize that that was total foolishness and that it was just for a little while. And who can forget a passage of Scripture in Hebrews that we'll be studying before too long? We're hurtling getting through Hebrews. We're in chapter 9 of Hebrews. If some of you who have not been attending would like to come, if you'll read the first 8 verses, you'll be up with us with that 9th chapter as we start then Wednesday night. But in Hebrews chapter 11 and there verse 24, it says this, choosing rather, that is, verse 24, by faith Moses, when he became of age, that is, he grew up. Beloved, some of us need to grow up, don't we? When he became a full age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasure for a season. Joy is just, wicked joy is just for a few moments. When you put that wickedness up against eternity, I tried to describe it the way Rodney did a few moments ago, but I didn't understand what he's talking about. But he was talking about how what my age was. He said, when you put all that into perspective and you think about eternity, you're about thus and so, and he lost me at thus and so and thus and so. I love Rodney. Still don't know what he's talking about, though. And so when you think about it, pleasure is just that. That is, worldly pleasure is that short. And how many of us have enjoyed the pleasure of sin for a season and prayed to God time and time again, I'm so sorry that I know. Let me tell you, young people, your parents have got some answers for you because they've committed some sins. And one day some of them will come up to you and say, don't go there, I've already been there. You don't want that baggage. It's not pleasurable. It's not fun. It is destructive. So the wicked have fun. They are enjoying themselves. As you think about just simply foolish joy. And they bet, the way of the transgressor is hard because one day it's all going to come to them. But as a whole, they're enjoying what they're doing. And you can't, and don't go and tell them you're not having any fun, because yes, they are. That's the wrong kind of it. It's the wrong kind of joy. That's why it's so important that we as parents teach and train our children from day one of the difference between the joy of the world and the joy of righteousness. We need to show them, first of all, through our very lives. They need to see, let me ask you, if your children right now were to tell me the truth, and I would expect that, and they started describing you to me, would they say, David, let me tell you about just how joyful my mom and dad are. And what a joy it is to be around them and watch them live in Christ. As they talk about God and they talk about Jesus and His sacrifice, the fact that He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that He is our High Priest. If we want our children to be joyful, then grandparents and parents, we need to let them see that the greatest aspect of our life is rejoicing in the Lord. And that even when difficulties come away, or come upon us rather, that we ask God's blessings to help us get through it, not blaming Him. Let them see joy in us. Joy is pleasurable, but it is knowledgeable. Why is it that mom and dad have this joy? What is it that they have learned that I need to learn? As Jason were talking about his children, as they wanted to know about the existence of God, help them get through it by showing them Christ in you and all that you say and all that you do. In 1 Peter